want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is, Watch Out for Nonprofit Prophets. It is from the series, The Things That Jesus Taught. This message is based on command number 20, Beware of False Prophets. We pray that it is a blessing to your life.
Well, we've been teaching now for several weeks, going through the things that Jesus taught about, and we just hope that this church just gets saturated with it. What more could be better than to hear what Jesus is saying, learn from it, and get it into your spirit? What more could possibly be better? Jesus talking in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 23. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. That never made sense to me until I had a property that we bought and it had a fruit tree on it. That never made sense to me until I cut that piece of fruit open and took a bite of it. Then I understood. And somebody said, you can't eat that. That's bad fruit. That tree bears nothing but sour, bitter fruit. And I want to tell you, that taste stayed in my mouth for hours. It was just horrible because it never made sense to me, because I thought a bad tree don't bear any fruit. But no, it's not that it don't bear any fruit. It don't bear good fruit. It bears bad fruit, bitter fruit. Okay. And then verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, which is exactly what I did with that tree, by the way. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. And the reason it says Lord, Lord in biblical speaking, if you really wanted to emphasize, you said it twice. It'd be like saying it loud, like screaming out his name. Did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, there's a lot of debate over the meaning of these scriptures and so on. We're not going to get into all of the theological differences of this scripture. But I will say this, that apparently there will be people who at the very least claim to do those things. And he's going to say, get away from me. I don't even know you. Okay? And I never knew you. And he called them evildoers. So in recent years, there's been a real shift in the church concerning the idea of judging. So we talked about this last week, but just want to kind of build on that a little bit as we get on into this teaching. And, you know, if we attempt to point something out that even scripturally is wrong, a lot of times we'll hear comments like, you know, don't judge or judge not lest you be judged and so on and so forth. Well, does the Bible tell us that we're not allowed to judge between right and wrong and good and bad and truth and error? And if you have any question about that, get last week's teaching because we really answered that. But how do we obey God's commands to uphold the truth and stand against wickedness while at the same time keeping judgmental attitudes at bay? Because how many of you know it is easy to get a judgmental attitude? Okay. When I'm talking about being judgmental, I'm talking about really that's rooted in pride where you just think you're better than somebody. Okay. That's when it becomes a problem, right? And I can understand people reacting to that and saying, hey, you know, you shouldn't judge like that. Well, but the truth of the matter is God's judgment has already been written. It's called the Bible. And what he says is right is right. It's always been right and it always will be right. And that's never going to change no matter what any society claims is right and wrong. Okay. So this study is going to attempt to add some clarification to that issue. Now, point number one is, like we said, to judge or not to judge. We kind of dealt with that last week, but let me just lay this down here. The first thing we got to do is we got to put Jesus' warning into context that statement was given. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, he said, "Judge not, that ye be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And that's really the main thing you need to know, is that if you're going to be critical and not constructive, but destructive in critical comments and judgmental attitude, then you need to know it's coming back straight at you. That's why the scripture says to bless. Because if you bless people, the blessings will come back to you. If you curse people, the cursings are coming back to you, right? But it doesn't mean that you don't call right, right, and wrong, wrong. So this is not a warning not to judge, but that we are going to be judged according to the same standard we choose. And in Romans, we're warned not to judge others when we're doing the same things that they're doing. And if we know something's wrong, and we become a witness against ourselves if we're committing the same acts. So the whole point in that was that he said, look, I need you to get yourself ready to help some people who don't know how to help themselves. But before you can help them get the splinter out of their eye, you got to pull that big old log out of yours. Okay? So he's not saying don't help them. He's saying do what you need to do to get yourself ready so you can help them. Okay. So we don't have the right to judge someone's heart. We talked about. You don't really know their motives. Now, I believe God can reveal motives, but typically, naturally, you don't know a person's motives. But when it's needed, we are to judge someone's actions and words according to the truth. And if we're not permitted to judge, it becomes impossible to distinguish between right and wrong. So contrary to common or popular opinion, the Bible actually commands us to judge. Now, again, the scripture, referring back to last week's message, the scripture does instruct us that it's not our job to judge the world. That's God's job. But it is our job to judge ourselves. Now, when we say ourselves, we understand that we're supposed to be the body of Christ. So it is our job to judge within the body. Now, that doesn't mean to be hateful and mean and everything else. It means that within the body, we keep a righteous standard of holiness, that we stay in agreement with what God says, and we don't let stuff fly in the church that is against the word of God. Okay? So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, God says, "Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." So, and of course, it's through the Apostle Paul that he's speaking, but the scripture lets us know that all of scripture was God-breathed, inspired by God, right? So it says to test all things and hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. If I'm not allowed to judge, then I don't even know the difference between good and evil. How am I supposed to test anything if I don't even am not allowed to even say whether it's good or evil? So testing is judging between right and wrong. And the devil has successfully removed our ability to measure truth by convincing a whole bunch of God's people that it's wrong to judge. Now, they may not know anything else that's in that Bible, but they know you shall not judge. The Bible says, thou shalt not judge. They even like to say it in King James, so it sounds more spiritual. Thou shalt not judge. So it's not judging that's wrong. It's the standard by which we judge and the motives behind our judgment. And Jesus gave the standard for judging. So let's look at a couple of passages here. John chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, "Do not judge according to the appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." So what does he mean by that? Well, he told us earlier that righteous judgment basically has to do with the fruit of someone's life. It has nothing to do with the way they look on the surface. Okay. So John chapter 12, verse 48, he says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words hath that which judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him in the last day." So again, the judgment has already been spoken. So you and I, we don't even have the ability to judge somebody's eternity. Now, we can maybe guess whether or not they're a Christian or not, but we don't have the ability to say you get to go to heaven and you got to go to hell. You don't have any biblical right ever, and you should never let it come out of your mouth toward a person where you tell them you just need to go to hell. you're trying to step in. People don't realize that, but when you say something like that, you're literally pridefully stepping into God's place, because he's the only one that will ever legitimately be able to say that. Okay. So he says, if you reject me, basically the words I've spoken have already judged you. That's why he said in John chapter 3, I didn't come to condemn the world, because the world's already condemned, right? Now, judgment is not according to appearance or personal preference, but according to God's own righteous judgment, which he has revealed in his word. It's God's word that judges between right and wrong, and we are to test all things by evaluating against the word of God. And the Bible constantly reiterates a foundational truth that God does not change. That's why it gets under my skin. I can't understand how some of these modern day preachers who really, to be honest with you, they're heretics. Modern day preachers telling you that whatever you do, don't even bother reading the Old Testament because those Ten Commandments don't apply to us anymore. Well, they're going to find out on Judgment Day that they do. They do still apply. And the scripture warns us that you can't take the grace of God for granted in Romans chapter 6. Shall we sin more so that grace may abound? God forbid, Paul said. But that is the atmosphere of even the church culture that we live in today. So God does not change. What he says is right and wrong does not change. His word does not change. And anything that disagrees with God's unchanging word is not true. And if it's not true, that means it's a lie. So anything that disagrees with God's unchanging word is a lie. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And in Psalms, God tells us that his word is equal to his name. In Psalm chapter 138, verse 2, it says, I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. So God's word is equal to his name, and together they are greater than all things. So if we think for a moment, you know, give it any kind of thought at all, we're going to realize the significance of this principle, that if a person keeps changing their position, what do we think of their principles? So if a person is saying, and let's say 20 years ago, that something is wrong according to the scripture, and today they're saying something totally different. Like I heard one very famous preacher say that his understanding of God's word toward homosexuality is evolving. Well, it better not evolve. It better stay with what God said. Okay. But there's a lot of things that are evolving. When it comes to when it starts evolving, you know you're in trouble. Okay. You better stand with what did God say first. Okay. And so if someone makes a promise and doesn't follow through with that promise, well, how valuable is their name? Well, the Bible calls God our rock. He does not change and he does not move. And the stability of his word is absolutely necessary so that we can have confidence in our faith and actually really have faith in his word. So who can put their trust in someone who changes based on circumstances, comfort, or preference? I spoke to a lady not too long ago who is now questioning, you know, what does God really believe about this whole thing about homosexuality? And she said, you know, someone very close to me is now in that lifestyle and I love them very much. And they claim to be a Christian and they seem to love God. I really believe they love God. And so I'm really starting to question about, you know, what I believed about homosexuality. Was I right about that? Or was it? And I said, listen, whatever you do, don't move on that. Don't change on that, because you have to be an anchor of truth or else they don't have any hope. You better stay. You better hold fast to your position, and they're going to get mad and upset and pull the heartstrings and play all kinds of cards on you. But you better hold your position, because you're the only chance they have of coming back to the truth. And if you evolve or move with them, they're lost. And there's nothing you can do to save them. So God's word cannot change, and we can confidently lay his word as the straight edge of truth and reveal what is crooked. Now, I've mentioned homosexuality a couple of times, but how many of you know homosexuality is just one of many sins that this culture engages in? Look, I've met parents who were just, I'll never forget this one parent who was, they were rejoicing because their son got a girl pregnant, and they were rejoicing because they said, oh, thank God, I thought he was homosexual. You know what? He's going to split hell wide open just the same because he's still living an immoral lifestyle if he doesn't repent. Okay? So, and we like to, you know, we like to classify stuff. But I want to tell you, any kind of immorality is a sin. Any kind of immorality is obviously not pleasing to God, and it's going to hurt people. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. It says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men to do so. Now, this is New Testament. This is not Old Testament. This is Jesus talking. And he said, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So obviously Jesus wants us to teach the commandments. Amen? Because it's still God's truth. So, you know, he's not saying if you don't, he's going to kick you out of heaven. But what he is saying is you're going to be the least. Now, some people would say, oh, you know, I don't mind. I just want to make sure I get there, you know. But, you know, that's, he intended for us to have some rewards when we get there too. So the straight truth is that those who teach God's word fully and faithfully are with God, and those who alter or contradict it really are working against God. And there's no such thing as a new revelation that is contrary to what God has already revealed in his word. Now, I do believe in something called progressive revelation in the sense that the older I get, I'm going to see things that I didn't see before. But it's not that it's a different revelation. It's just that I didn't see it before. Everybody understand? It was already there. The truth was already there. I just didn't see it. Like I heard one man say, it's kind of like those vertical blinds. If you've ever been in a room with those vertical blinds and they're turned at a certain angle, and at this angle you look and you don't see the sunlight at all. There's no light coming through. But as you move, as you go forward, eventually you get into a position where you have the sun shining in on you. You see maximum light coming through. And that's kind of how it is as you grow in the Lord. So your revelation is progressive in the sense that you're progressively learning it, but it's not changing. Understand that? It's still the same truth that it always was. So we are to judge doctrine or teaching and truth righteously, and this is only possible by comparing it to the scripture. So we judge according to the word. The second main point is that we judge according to the word. John chapter 14, verse 23 through 24. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So Jesus is saying, I got some backup here, guys. I'm not just talking about this. The Father's saying this. Okay. If you're lying, if you say you love him, but you just won't keep his word, you're just lying. So according to the truth of scripture, we can determine if we are those who preach and teach are in love with God. So he's given us a standard by which to judge. And if anyone loves Christ, he or she is going to keep God's word. We may not be able to judge somebody's salvation like we said, but we can clearly judge whether or not they're in an abiding relationship with Christ. It's easy to see. And everybody in your life, hear me, everybody in your life, they're either going to take you up or they're going to take you down. And it's up to you who you're going to hang with, who you're going to let speak into your life, who you're going to entrust yourself to. You really have to be careful. I've seen some people who truly, I think, had powerful potential and anointing and sell it out because they wanted to stay connected with people who were only going to pull them down instead of bring them up. So we can clearly judge whether or not a person is abiding in a relationship with Christ. Now, if someone rejects God's commands, the Bible's very clear. They don't even love God. And if someone refutes scripture or teaches a doctrine or teaching that contradicts scripture, then according to the scripture, they don't really love God. So there's an issue. There's a problem. There's a motive issue in their heart. God knows what that motive is, but something's not right. So they may say they love God, but it's not possible to love God and align yourself against his word. And I have met, I don't know how many people, I can't count how many people I've met over the years who say that they love God, but I really do love God, but their life is absolutely contrary to it. And according to the word, they're lying to themselves. They don't love God. They don't even love themselves. They don't love themselves enough to make themselves submit to God. So Jesus came and gave us a clear measurement to distinguish between those who love God and those who don't. And we can easily identify false teachers. We're talking about tonight about false prophets. We could say false teachers. Those who claim to be in the stead of God, speaking for God, but it's false. What is our responsibility when we identify someone who teaches doctrine contrary to God's word? Now, I'm not one to go out and, you know, just start naming a bunch of people and saying all kinds of stuff about them and trying to down them and their ministries. I'm not going to do that, but I will say what needs to be said to those that I'm responsible to say it to. And your responsibility is to hear the words that come through my mouth if God has called you to be under this delegated authority, to hear the words that are coming out of my mouth, take them before the Holy Spirit and get confirmation, okay? And if you hear other teachers teaching things that are contrary to what I'm saying, then by all means, you better get confirmation from the Holy Spirit on what is truth and what is right. I can guarantee you this, I'm going to do my very best to always give you the truth according to the Holy Spirit, according to this word, without compromise. I can guarantee you that, okay? But hey, listen, I'm just like anybody else. It is very possible for me to be wrong on something. I've been wrong before, right? But I can tell you that you cannot trust somebody who has an obvious, the Bible calls it selfish ambition. If you ever run into people who are chasing titles, who are chasing positions, and you know, it doesn't take very much to figure that out. If you'll just back up and hear from the Holy Spirit, He'll let you know something's wrong. You're looking at a guy that never wanted to do this, okay? Now, I'm not saying that a pastor shouldn't have a passion or a Bible teacher shouldn't have a passion to do it and so on and so forth. But there's a difference. This is what I always say. If you tell me you want to do it right here, then why aren't you doing it out there? Because it's supposed to be a lifestyle. Don't tell me you want to preach if you're not preaching anybody outside of a pulpit, right? So when I was coming up, you know, when I was in college, what I really thought I was going to do, now, you know, you guys who know we've been around for a long time, I had a real love for music, love to do praise and worship and sing and write songs and all that kind of stuff. But when I was in college, my thoughts were, had nothing to do with being a pastor. In fact, that was the last thought I had. What I really thought I was going to be doing was just doing evangelistic things. And anything that I'd be doing with the church, I thought would just be teaching them maybe how to evangelize, because I like to did a lot of street ministry and that kind of stuff. Okay. But I wasn't looking for a title. In fact, the title was the last thing I wanted. You know why? Because titles mean responsibility. And lots of it. Okay. Y'all understand that? And when you talk about being responsible for people, you're responsible for their souls. I mean, I have to answer to God for everything I say from this pulpit to people who are listening. So I want to make sure it's right. Okay. So 2 John chapter 2 verse 9 through 11, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him in your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. You know, that's not politically correct, because we're supposed to just be nice to everybody. But the scripture, Jesus himself, is saying right here, if somebody is teaching something that is opposed to what I teach or what the Lord teaches according to the scripture, then he says that person is an evil person. Don't even receive him into your house. The Bible commands in unmistakable terms that if somebody brings doctrine or teaching that is contrary to scripture, you don't welcome them as a teacher in any level. The Bible is the absolute final authority, and that's what we're going to go by. So this doesn't mean that you condemn them, but it means that instead you take the other side and you say, look, that just doesn't ring true with scripture. And I'm not talking about being combative, but I'm talking about saying, you know, maybe you can actually bring real correction if they're humble enough to hear it. Now, most of the time they're not going to be, but you're not trying to condemn them, but you want to uphold the truth with the hope of them coming to repentance. You know, look, if you have some Jehovah's Witness or some Mormons knock on your door, don't mistreat them. I hear Christians sometimes bragging about, yeah, they came knocking on my door. I told them next time you come knocking on my door, I'm going to meet you with a shotgun. Goober. I'm a Christian. I don't need to hear all that stuff. Gee whiz. No. Now, I would say don't receive them in your house and let them start doing their little Bible studies with you. But I would say go ahead and share your testimony. Go ahead and share your faith with them and don't mistreat them. So also keep in mind that the early church, they didn't have church buildings, really. They met in homes. And so really in the context of it, he's saying basically don't just let somebody come in and teach. You know, I had to learn a valuable lesson. When we started pastoring, honestly, I didn't have a clue. We had a calling and that's what we had. And so we were doing that. And the Lord rebuked me, you know, several years in because I used to kind of feel sorry for people. And people would tell me they were a preacher and they were looking for a place to preach. And I would we had some yahoos come through and preach. Some of y'all, if you were here with us, you remember some dude was talking about triangles in the sky and a spaceship doing this and that. It was so funny because that day, that's when we were in the little building over on Thompson Street. And thank God the people of the church had enough sense to, they just started praying in tongues immediately. Just had one guy come preach and boy, he was preaching a fiery salvation message only to find out that he had abandoned his wife in California and was living with a woman down here, but telling everybody he was a preacher. And I was foolish enough to let him come preach. You know, I just didn't know. I didn't know any better. Well, but, you know, God had to sharpen my discernment. And the Lord rebuked me. And he said very clearly, do not just let anybody get behind that pulpit. And the first time Pastor Mike came, who was my pastor, first time he came to preach here, he said a statement, something along the lines of, you know, appreciate Pastor Daigle letting me come and preach. Cause you know, when you let somebody in your pulpit, it's a little bit like letting them date your wife. And when he said that, it was like hitting me in the head with a sack of bricks. And what he was doing was letting me know that you better protect this church the same way you should protect your wife. And you don't let anybody date your wife. You don't let anybody take advantage of or date your church because they coming in to take advantage. Hear me. I call them Pentecostal playboys. They like to plant the seed, but not take any responsibility. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. So the people who do come here, if they're going to get behind this pulpit, then you know that there's an anointing that God wants to impart here. And God said it needs to be at least equal or greater than the anointing I've put on your life. So, okay, yes, sir. So these teachers of false doctrine, they don't just merely mislead people who need to be taught truth. But the intent of the passage is that they are bringing a doctrine contrary to Christ for the purpose of teaching others. So they're not just misleading people, but they're keeping people from actually getting the truth that God intended for them to have. They're basically wasting your time. And, you know, we're not to allow them to spread that stuff. That's why, you know, people come in, we've had over the years people come in and they want to bring their little teachings and what used to be popular was they wanted to talk about devils all the time and you want to name this devil and that devil and, and they had a ministry of deliverance many times they called it and all. And we just, you know, we said, look, the only name I need to know, the only one I need to know is the name of Jesus because it's the name above all other names. It don't matter what that devil's name is. In the name of Jesus, that devil's got to go. Amen. So you can waste a lot of time getting caught up in that stuff. And people get caught up in it because they think, especially when they start talking about the topic of spiritual warfare, and it's a prideful thing because they know things nobody else knows. Shut up. All right. So this principle would equally apply to churches and any other place that others are taught in God's name. So verse 11 makes it clear that those who give these teachers a platform to spread their heresy or partakers in their evil deeds. And let me tell you something else, because we're Christians and we're nice people and we like to support ministry and so on and so forth. You better be careful who you send in your TV money to. I'm telling you. Because, you know, hey, look, they get on TV and they start talking about the need and they start asking for money and all that. If the Holy Spirit directs you, then you do what the Holy Spirit said to do. Now, he's never going to get you to send your tithe there because that comes to the storehouse where you feed. But I want to tell you that you better be careful because if you were sending money to support a ministry and they're preaching some kind of heresy, then listen, you fall into the same category as them. So don't just let some TV preacher pull on your heartstrings. One of the things I told the Lord when we got on the radio is I said, Lord, I'll do it, but you're going to have to supply it because I am not going to get on the radio and beg for money as though I had to tell him what the right thing was to do. He never intended for me to get on the radio and beg for money, because that's not the purpose of it. The purpose was get the word of God out so people can hear it, and then let me take care of the need. Okay? So God is going to judge us along with them if we're going to sit idly by and allow false teachers to lead us or those we know astray. And the Bible gives the warning that teachers will receive a stricter judgment. So the reason teachers are going to be held to a higher standard is because their errors affect so many people. And if we allow heresy to go unchecked and we share in their evil deeds, then we also are going to be held to that strict judgment. And I don't care how well they smile or how well they preach or how well they orate. You better find out if their teaching lines up with God's word. And listen, if you're not absolutely sure, at least listen to every little check and watch every little flashing light in your spirit when you hear them. Because God will warn you. You can't ignore that stuff. You can't. That's why he gave us the discerning of spirits, and he told us, test everything. Test everything. Now, that doesn't mean that you should just be all of a sudden, a professional preacher tester going around doing nothing but insulting every ministry around, because what you're going to find out is you're all of a sudden going to be puffed up in pride because you think you're a know-it-all and you can't be taught by anybody. Okay? And that would be foolishness. So understand, though, it's not a small matter to allow some kind of anti-Christian teaching or doctrine to be taught within the church. And if you hear anybody teaching some of this modern day stuff today about, that the commandments don't apply and never read the Old Testament and hell doesn't really exist and all this kind of stuff, you better get away from them. Okay, third main point is this, identifying false prophets and teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Now notice he used the term destructive. It's destructive. It's not just a nothing, like it's not going to affect anybody. It's destructive. Even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So the Lord's letting us know he's not going to play with this. It's serious business. Now, it's going to temporarily, possibly, earn them a lot of money. I want you to know that the richest preachers around are the ones typically the richest. Not that there's a problem with a preacher having money. That's not my point. But typically the richest preachers around, many times you better check their doctrine closely, because they're saying things that will cause people to want to give to them, but they're not saying things that are going to bring people to repentance. Okay? And you better check that. So notice that these teachers use deceptive tactics to bring destructive heresy secretly into the church. Heresy simply means false teaching that's contrary to God's word. And we have been warned beforehand that many people are going to follow those to destruction. I've heard people ask, can that many people be wrong? How many of you have ever heard somebody say that? Can that many people be wrong about it? And the truth is, yes, there is absolutely no safety in numbers. That's why Jesus said broad is that way that leads to destruction. That's where most people are going to go. So there is no safety in numbers. Safety is only found in truth. And if their message was openly and blatantly anti-Christian, nobody would follow them. At least no Christian would follow them. But false teachers use tactics to gain trust. And they'll give a pound of truth to gain your trust. And then they're going to slip in these little small doses of their twisted doctrine once they feel confident that they'll be listened to. And when a false teacher begins, they often sound very orthodox or, truth-oriented. But as they gain trust, they're going to become more and more blatant as time goes by. And eventually, these teachers can say almost anything, and they're going to be applauded because they're considered to be God's spokesman. Now, truth is abandoned, and their words become the measure of truth instead of Scripture. That's why you as a people of God, you better not completely depend upon me or any other Bible teacher or pastor to teach you the Bible. You better read the Bible for yourself. It's a foolish thing to only read your Bible when you show up at church, and you're basically reading it on the screen when I put it up there. So Galatians 1 answers this question of, will the Holy Spirit reveal truth that is contrary to Scripture? Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. I marvel that you were turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we are, now hear what he said, if we are an angel from heaven, I've seen a few of them modern day preachers claiming that an angel from heaven gave them certain revelation. I don't know if y'all heard that, but there was a big old thing going on in Florida there for a little while, and this guy was claiming that he was talking to this angel, Emma, who would visit him all the time and was teaching him these things, and, you know, and this was going on in the whole church world, especially the charismatic, you know, full gospel type, Pentecostal type folks were falling into that thing. And from the very beginning, there was a check. I kept saying something's wrong. And people would say, Brother Dwayne, you ought to go. I know preachers who went over, you ought to go. You ought to go and experience that God is moving. God's on the move over there. I said, no, something's wrong there. Something's wrong. Come to find out that the guy was having an affair with a staff member and was getting drunk every night. But this was the preacher who God was moving through so mightily. Don't be gullible when it comes to this stuff. So even if an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now that's strong language. As we have said before, so now I say again, and he says it again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. That's pretty confident. The Apostle Paul is pretty confident that he was speaking what the Holy Spirit wanted spoken. So this word accursed comes from the Greek word anathema, which means a person or a thing that is doomed to destruction. That is, look, we're not talking about just some little curse coming on them. He's talking about that if they're going to hijack the gospel and start preaching heresy, then he's saying let them be forever doomed. Man, that's strong stuff. If that don't make you want to get it right, if that don't make you lose any selfish ambition of wanting to be a teacher in front of people, then you're too dumb to teach anyway. So the word accursed is a serious thing. Now consider that the weight of that passage. The Apostle Paul, we know he was obviously God's messenger. He penned 2/3 of the New Testament. And Paul was used to spread Christianity throughout all of the known world. He started many churches, even miracles took place under his ministry. And Paul said that if he comes back one day and teaches something contrary, Paul himself, if I come back and teach something contrary to what has already been delivered, to even count him as someone destined for God's destruction. My goodness. So he was confident that the Holy Spirit had spoken through him. Then the Bible goes on to warn that even if an angel of light stands before you and claims that God has sent him to deliver a truth that's contrary to what's already been revealed, the angel is to be counted as accursed by God as well. In other words, he's saying, really not an angel. It's the wrong kind of angel, right? This principle is so important that Paul repeated it to make sure that the point was not missed. So new truth is really a lie if it does not align with the scripture. Now, again, I want to make it clear that we're not talking about revelation being revealed to you that you didn't see before. But if any new revelation comes to you that contradicts revelation that was already known, then there's a problem. Okay. There's a problem. So God will build on the revelation that he's given you, but he's not going to contradict that revelation if it was from God. So let's go on to the fourth main point. Rejecting false prophets and teachers. Now, again, this subject was so important that it was one of the things that Jesus said, make sure you teach people and teach them to obey it. Okay. So rejecting false teachers and prophets. If the Bible says that God's own angel from heaven's to be accounted as doomed, or even the Apostle Paul is to be accounted as doomed, or anybody else that comes is to be doomed, then why do we think this doesn't apply to a lot of men and women who claim to be apostles and prophets today, or pastors or teachers or evangelists today who are false? So Paul was anointed by God, but the Bible says that even he would be doomed. So why would this be true? Well, because God will never change and his word will never change. And it doesn't matter what culture or society does. Anybody claiming to be of God and contradicting scripture is a liar. Many of those who claim to be prophets are basically ministers of Satan. Now, that doesn't mean that nobody that there are no prophets on the earth today, because I do believe that there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, I'm a little leery of one who would have to get a t-shirt that says prophet on it. Okay. So that you would know that they're a prophet. I'd be a little leery of that. Okay. Or apostle or so on and so forth. Okay. But there are real people that operate in those real offices today. I do believe that. But I also know that there's a whole bunch of them that are false. And I have seen, look, I've seen people who don't know anything. They're just somebody who decided they wanted to, hey, let me pick this title. And they start calling themselves prophet so-and-so or apostle so-and-so and so on. And the whole idea of it is, I'm going to call myself apostle so I can go attach to all these different churches and try to get them to send me money every month. Okay, I'm telling you, that stuff's going on. All right, but there are true apostles. I know that to be true. My pastor is a true apostle if there ever was one. Okay. Now, he don't go around calling himself Apostle Mike. All right. So many of those, again, who claim to be ministers of that sort are not God's ministers. And so it comes directly from Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 through 15. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. Now, did you hear what he said? He used that word opportunity twice. I will continue to do that. I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity. I mean, you know, some people are just opportunists. And you better watch them. You run into people who have that thing about them and they call themselves a minister of the gospel, and you see that they're an opportunist, you better run. Better get away from them. And he goes on to say, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Did you hear what he said? Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Not God transforming them into it, but they transforming themselves. In other words, it's in their own mind. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So what he's saying is it doesn't matter what they claim, and a lot of people make claims that are not true, especially those who claim to be ministers of the gospel. And so, again, this is very, very clear, and it's very straightforward. And the Apostle Paul is making a very strong point here. And he said, I have to cut off the opportunity for these opportunists to get into the body of Christ and wreak destruction. And really, all they want to do is take from it. So, you know that there's some ministers out there that, because they have a big name, big churches like to bring them in. But do you know that before they ever even come to that church, where they're going to say, well, I have to have at least a $10,000 base offering, and I've got to stay in a 5-star hotel, and I want to be picked up by a white limousine, you know, and it's got to be a Mercedes Benz, this or that, and I need to have this and that and this and that in my room when I get there, and it's got to be all the best, just the best. Listen, there's a problem with that. Now, I do believe that you should treat a guest minister who is preaching the gospel, you should treat them well. And when they come, we like to bless them. Okay? But it's never because they demanded it. Anybody understand that? It's one of the reasons I love Pastor Mike so much. He has never put a demand. In fact, he always tells me, I'm not coming to your church for money. I don't need an offering. He'll receive it because he wants us to be blessed by giving it, and he's going to put it to good use. But he says, I'm not coming to get money from your church. Well, I appreciate that, all right? So, again, there's some pretty stout stuff there in the Bible about all this. So, can Satan's ministers masquerade as apostles and ministers of righteousness? Well, absolutely, according to the Scripture. Satan does not walk in the front door of a church and announce his intentions. He masquerades as a bearer of truth. Lately, the newest thing is, because it's gotten so easy to publish books and stuff like that, the latest thing is everybody's got a book. They all want to advertise their book. But you know what? I'm not even going to waste my time unless the Holy Spirit draws me to that. So I just think that we have to be very careful. You got to be careful who speaks into your life. You got to be careful who feeds you. So the devil is going to give you as much truth as it takes to get you to bite into the lie. And unless you're grounded in the Word of God, you won't recognize the lie when it comes to you. So can a false prophet that the Bible calls a minister of Satan do good things? Well, sure. They can do some good things for a while, at least what appears to be a good thing. Deuteronomy chapter 13 answers this question. In Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4, It says, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep him, or keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. So obviously, according to this, the Lord does allow us to be tested in these things. And, you know, you got to come to the place, you got to answer the question, do you love God, or are you just looking to use God for selfish motives? Now, again, growing up in the kind of churches that we have, the spirit-filled kind of churches, and a lot of times there's a, you know, great passion, and some people go overboard with some stuff sometime, and I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. Everybody understand that? But listen, don't be one of those who goes around chasing prophets and saying, give me a word, give me a word. I need a word. I've had people come and ask me, oh, Brother Dwayne, I just need a word from God. Could you give me a word? You know, that used to, the temptation to, for ego to come up will arise. But I've learned to say, you know, I give you a word if God gives me a word to give you, you know, but I'm not going to make something happen. All right. That's not how this works. But what you need to do is you need to go to God and get the word from him, because I'm a fallible human being. I can miss it. Okay. But he can't miss it. Right. So, and those words from God, by the way, should never be directed. If a word comes from me or Pastor Cindy or another legitimate minister or something, that word should be a confirmation of something God's already told you, not a direction. If somebody tells you, oh, the Lord told me that you're supposed to, you know, pack your bags and go to Africa, and whatever you do, don't pack your bags and go to Africa, right? Now, if that's the third or fourth time that God has told you that, and he's already spoken it to you in the spirit, and that comes along as confirmation, well, then, you know, you might ought to start looking at airplane tickets. Y'all hear me? But make sure that the sources that have come to you are legitimate sources and legitimate, you know, prophetic words and voices. So again, God allows those people to arise and test you. So we saw earlier that those who truly love God are going to cleave to his word. And anyone can say, I love God, but the evidence is found in your choice. Anyone can say Jesus is Lord. But if their Jesus is not the Jesus of the scripture, then this statement means nothing. The other day, somebody, you know, I've kind of getting used to it a little bit, but, you know, somebody was saying something ugly about us on Facebook. And, you know, there was someone from this church who posted something, and it was good. And I hit like on it. It was a good statement. But then somebody else got under there because they know where they go to church, and then they put some stuff on there about, you know, how we ought to be ashamed of ourselves with those pastors that ask people or demand people go through their programs before they let them in leadership and all this. Like, I don't get this. And they ought to be ashamed of themselves. And I thought, you know, I always, you know, Pastor Mike has so influenced me. And, you know, this one thing came to mind when I saw that. And it was, you know, I can cast the devil out of you, but the stupid is going to remain. You know, I can't cast the stupid out of you. All right. So I guess they thought that people should be able to just walk in and say, hey, I'm prophet so-and-so. I'm going to come and, you know, start prophesying to your people and take some kind of position of authority in your church. No, you're not. Not going to happen. All right. So they may call the Spirit who guides them the Holy Spirit, but if it does not confirm scripture and point to Christ, then it is nothing but a spirit of deception. Now, let's wrap this thing up. If we are commanded to test doctrine or teaching in order to determine what's good and evil, then how can we think that we're not allowed to judge? Why does the Bible warn us to be on guard and watch out for false teachers if we're not to question their authority and not to question their teaching? Now, when we talk about authority, again, there is legitimate authority, there is illegitimate authority. And, you know, I can't tell you who that is all the time, but the Holy Spirit can. And then you're responsible for what you did with that. So we're mandated by Scripture to judge and identify and stand against false teachings and even false teachers by upholding the truth. And our goal is not to prove others wrong. Again, this isn't like some would say a peeing match. Okay. This isn't, you know, I'm going to say this and I'm wiser than them and so on and so forth. No, that's not what this is about. This is about, for the sake of the people and of the church and the life of the generations that are coming behind us,
we better get this right,
and we better keep truth in order, and we better not compromise on the truth. So it's not about proving somebody else wrong. It's not about being right. And let me say it this way. If that's my motive, then I'm living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But our desire is to live in the tree of life. Okay. So it's not about getting into an argument with somebody on a soulish realm or in the soulish realm or a soulish level. It's not about debating and all of that. So our ultimate goal is to bring people to repentance by upholding truth, because truth ultimately is going to win out. And so ideally we want the teacher, even if it's a false teacher, we want them to see the truth and respond. And equally important, if not more important, our intention should also be to keep others from falling into Satan's traps. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and what? In truth. So without truth, worship and our relationship with God are not even possible. So if we allow faith to be perverted, then we're partakers of that perversion. And the world around us is lost. The world around us is dying without Christ. And if we allow Christianity to conform to the world, then who can possibly be saved? I mean, it's bad enough. We've already got down to the point where in most churches, they rejoice and rejoice because they got somebody to say a little magic prayer, you know, but then their lives never change. Now, the Lord rebuked me about that years ago, said, quit doing that. Don't do that. It's a starting point, and they better understand it's just a starting point. Saying those words don't make you saved. Giving your life over to Christ with a repentant heart is what brings you to salvation. Because a lot of people say a lot of things they don't mean. And a lot of people, especially if they in a jam. How many of you know that most people, when they in a jam, they'll say anything they need to try to get what they need. They in a jam. I can't tell you how many people were about to go to jail or about to lose their spouse or whatever. Oh, pastor, I want to get saved. Boy, they'll pray that prayer. But as soon as either things straighten up or they don't go the way they wanted it to go, either way, you never see them again. Because there was no change of heart. They just said some words that meant nothing to them. They were trying to con God into giving them something. So we're to be calling the world to get off the sinking ship. We're not supposed to be getting on the ship with them. And if the church tolerates the lie, then who's going to share the truth? Now, let me give you another scripture. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 30 through 32. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets. Boy, that didn't make any sense to me when I first read that. I remember the first time I read that years ago. I'm against the prophets, says the Lord. Then it goes on to say, who steals my words, everyone from his neighbor. Did you hear that? Who steals my words. Behold, I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues to say, he says, behold, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord. I tell you what, you better be careful. And I've warned people about this before. You better be careful before you start saying, God said this and God said that. You better make sure it was God saying it. Whatever you do, don't fall into that trap of trying to be Mr. and Mrs. Prophetess and talk about God said this, because it could be your own mind and you're doing nothing but manipulating. And I've seen it. I've run folks out of church, out of this church, who were acting that way before. So listen, you need to know that God himself says, I'm against them people. They're doing nothing but stealing my words. Basically, they're stealing my name. Okay. So behold, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. So the title of the message tonight was, watch out for non-profit prophets. Well, this is where we get it from. The Lord said, I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. Just because they claim to be a prophet, just because they claim they have a word from the Lord, does not mean that it's from the Lord. And you just need to know that. That's one of the reasons why there should be legitimate delegated authority in your life. That's why the scripture says that prophecy should be judged. That's why we don't let people in this church just go around running around prophesying over everybody. And listen, let me just go ahead and clarify, whether it's in this building or out of this building, if they're a part of this flock and you think you got a prophetic word, then you better know that word needs to be judged. And you need to always say, you need to take this to the pastor. I believe God is saying this, but take this to the pastor. Okay? or else come to the pastor first, one of us, me or Pastor Cindy, and say, I believe I have a word for them. Is that okay? And folks have learned how to do that. Now, that's not some kind of big authority kick that we're on. No, it's what the scripture said to do, because those words are supposed to be judged. Because I've seen people get hurt by people claiming that they had a prophetic word for somebody and it was not God or even close. Thinking of a couple several years ago, somebody calling himself a prophet prophesied to them and told them, you know, God's called you to be a pastor. And he says, you got your church building's coming real soon. Your church building's coming real soon. And they struggled with that because they begin to kind of get puffed up. And yeah, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm looking for my church building kind of thing. And it's meant, look, that was not God. I'm sorry. But it's not time. Maybe one day that'll happen. But that was not from God. That dude was out of order. He should have never even given you that word. So you have to be careful. Again, you have to be careful. And we want to do things right. Now, does that mean that prophetic words should never happen? No. No, we believe in that. And we know that it's true. And we know that it happens. And we know that it's real. But those words need to be judged by legitimate authority in your life. All right. So if God is against them, if God's against these false prophets, then we better not listen to or support them either. We have to judge according to the truth of God's word. He will not change and his word will not change. We must either conform to Christ through the word of God or else we are going to fall into deception. God does not allow for compromise when it comes to the truth. But again, let me just stress that Jesus himself stressed this. And so you and I better stress it. But we don't want to be those people who get on the internet and start naming off preachers everywhere and calling everybody false prophets. Okay, we're not going to be one of them, all right? But you do need to know that you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can show you. The Holy Spirit can let you know. I have literally walked into churches before, and instantly when I walked in there, the Holy Spirit began to reveal things. I remember I walked into a church probably 15 years ago. Pastor Cindy and I both, when I walked in there, I looked at her. I felt this creepy kind of, it was demonic. And I looked at her. I said, do you feel that? And I started getting all, just discerning of spirit started operating. And there was incest and there was adultery and there was all this stuff that, look, it was so bad we couldn't stay. We had to get up and leave out of there. Only to find out many, many, many years later, that is exactly what was going on in that church, in the leadership. The Holy Spirit will tell you. You can trust Him. Amen? You can trust Him. So don't fall for that which is that just looks good and sounds good. You better make sure that it is good. Amen?
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.